Channel open. Welcome back to Weekly Trek, a Star Trek news podcast presented by TrekCore.com. I am your host, Alex Perry.
What's today's date? The date.
Today's show was recorded on June 21st, 2024, and is current through Star Trek Discovery Season 5, so beware of spoilers. All right, let's get into the show.
Good day, Voyager, and welcome to A Briefing with Neelix. Catchy title, isn't it?
Weekly Trek is a regular news show covering the biggest stories from the Star Trek franchise. We are in the Alex Kurtzman era of Star Trek with the 12th television show and the 14th movie currently in production, and merchandise continuing to fill the Bajoran wormhole. So stick with me and I'll help you sort the real facts from a lot of the Dominion propaganda that you'll find online. But I can't do this alone, and my guest this week is part of the Clone Star podcast team. It's Jodi Pickens. Jodi, welcome to Weekly Trek.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, Jodi. Well, I ask my guests this question every week. I want to know if something's got you excited about Star Trek at the moment. What's got you moving at Warp 10?
You know, I just recently wrapped up a rewatch of Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
And I've lost track of the number, as we all do, but
sure.
It was fun going back to that and seeing how different it was compared to other Trek of the era, and how it still resonates so strongly in its storytelling and staying true to Trek. And I think it's fun, too, visiting that series again, especially post season 3 of Picard. So that's I really got really inspired by seeing that. I know that back in the day that Deep Space Nine really kind of took a lot of hits for being so different in the way it was telling Trek stories. And I think that resonates a lot today with some of the discourse we run into as a fan base and a community, you know, around some of the newer shows. And I think it's fun being able to go back and see how much they have become foundational to what we do now in the Trek universe.
Okay, Jodi, so I'm going to hit you with the hard questions now. What is your favorite episode of Deep Space Nine?
Oh, gosh. That's so funny you said that. But yeah, that's hard. I would have to say, and I'm terrible with titles, so you may have to help me with that.
I can do that.
It's the episode where Worf and Jadzia go on the away mission together. And
Change of Heart.
Thank you. I kind of surprised myself on that on this recent rewatch, because that was such a telling and shift, kind of a watershed moment, I guess, for Worf, especially, where he put emotions before duty. And I think it was just a good episode for both those characters and their relationship, not only to Starfleet and their commitment to the cause, but to each other.
Yeah, that episode is one where when you experience the feeling of like feeling the way that Worf does about Jadzia, the episode completely falls into place. Until
yes.
I knew what it was like to feel that deeply.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's like you're sort of watching something that you like objectively empathize with him, or maybe you don't, but you like don't like sort of understand it in the core of your soul. But I definitely understand Worf's behavior and change of heart, because I think I probably would behave the same way.
Right. Right. And I think it was so, you know, the Worf we saw in season 3 of Picard, this very kind of Zen approach to what he's doing in life.
Yep.
I think it stems from a little bit from that moment where I think he surprised himself in Change of Heart, that being able to say, you know what, I'm putting duty second for the first time in my life and looking at the world differently because of it. And I think, you know, that's a impact of the relationship, that the impact Jadzia had on Worf. And it was a fun episode to revisit for that, especially.
Okay, so that's favorite episode. What's your favorite season? If you could only watch one season of Deep Space Nine ever again, which would it be?
Oh, wow. You know, it might be the final season.
Uh-huh.
And I know that may be, maybe that's a cop-out. I don't know. But
no, that's a great answer.
I think what Deep Space Nine did really well was carry their story arcs, you know, not only just through a few episodes or through a season, but I think from beginning to end, and the way that series wraps up in that final season is so strong. It really checks all the boxes for me. And you really can't go wrong with that final episode where,
right.
I mean, it's just a beautiful finale, you know, finality to it all.
And so then last really hard question, who's your favorite character?
Yeah, wow. if you'd asked me before the rewatch, I definitely would say Jadzia. Jadzia, I think, is such a strong character for the show and impacts so many of the other folks in the series. But I think as I go back to it, it's Worf now. I really like the development that he experiences and what he learns about himself on the series. But I have to give a asterisk to Nog as a character, because I think sometimes that character can get overlooked with all the strong personalities that exist in that series. But Nog really left a strong impact on the series too. And as a character, I think told some of the harder stories throughout the series.
I love that. Yeah, I feel it feels to me. I've talked before about how I had this theory that like Star Trek is actually the story of Spock, because he's so omnipresent in so many of the shows, even the ones that he technically doesn't appear in. Like Enterprise doesn't have any Spock, but it's about there's a serious subplot about how could a human and a Vulcan ever come together and have a child, right?
Right.
But if there was a second character that the Star Trek franchise is about, just for sheer number of appearances, it'd obviously be Worf as being the untouchable, undisputed number one, longest running, most appearing character in all of Star Trek.
Right. And it's just a powerful character development through TNG and then DS9, of course. I mean, we saw him evolve throughout that series. And then, you know, to obviously have him back in that Picard season 3 was just another part of the evolution of Worf. I think he's ongoing all the time in his development.
That is super fun. Let me tell you what I'm feeling good about Star Trek this week. I'm also flashing back to 90s Star Trek. I put on the episode Brothers from The Next Generation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. This week. No idea why. I just like had a free 45 minutes. My fingers sort of like, you know, drifted towards Paramount Plus on the streaming service. They drifted towards TNG and they drifted towards Brothers, and I stuck Brothers on, and it's a comfort episode for me. It's one I could watch 100 times over.
Yeah.
Mostly for like the opening 20 minutes when it's the crew of the Enterprise against Data as he's like taking control of the ship and kicking him off the bridge and sending him to engineering. There's something about like, there's a particular type of Star Trek I really love, which is character against character using the ship itself.
Yeah.
So like also from season 3 of TNG, another sort of like sequence that comes to mind that's very similar to that is in The Hunted, when Roga Danar is like hiding all over the ship and they're chasing him. Or also TNG, The Game, the like towards the end of the episode when they're sort of running all over the ship and Wesley's hiding and trying to buy time for Data to figure it out. Like, there's just something about two characters going against each other and using the standing sets from the shows to do it. And like, Brothers is a great example of that. I mean, you know, Data's sitting there doing Picard's access code 7456, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I love it. Right. That's just one of those very soothing episodes for me.
Right, right. And it really does. It's, again, I love that idea of comfort episodes. We do have those, don't we, in Trek across the board. But
oh, yes.
It is, definitely. So, yeah, that's a great Data episode, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, with that, let's turn to the week's top stories.
There's a war going on, and I'm a reporter.
Well, with Star Trek Prodigy Season 2's release on Netflix fast approaching, that being on Monday, July 1st, in most locations around the world, CBS Studios have released a trailer for the upcoming second season. Let's give it a listen.
Whoa. We're just a bunch of nobodies on a rock.
Get in. We gotta move.
Until we found each other.
Now,
look at us. Part of a classified mission.
Okay, our mission's objective. An unstable time rift. Let's begin.
I can't believe we're here.
We all have important roles to play on this ship.
They're hiding something, and we're gonna find out what.
No! We're not here for your cockamamie plans. Ah!
I was just doing some routine maintenance.
There is more to this mission than meets the eye.
Old friends.
New world.
even time travel. And our only hope are these kids.
This timey-wimey stuff hurts my head.
I'm trusting you.
This ain't gonna be easy.
Use your phasers!
They seem unfazed.
We can make it!
Here we go!
Whatever reality throws at us, we got this.
Punch it! Pew, 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 pew,
pew. That's my crew!
This is bigger than any of us now.
I'm not going anywhere.
None of us are.
This is one heck of a ride!
So exhilarating!
Whoa! Remarkable!
It still has some kinks. Giggling gives it away.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of both Voyager and Prodigy-style fun to me. The official synopsis for Prodigy Season 2 reads, quote, "The six young outcasts who make up the Prodigy crew are assigned a new mission aboard the USS Voyager A to rescue Captain Chakotay, voiced by Robert Beltran, and bring peace to Gwyn's, voiced by Ella Purnell, homeworld. However, when their plan goes astray, it creates a time paradox that jeopardizes both their future and past." Joining the recurring guest cast for this season of Prodigy are the previously announced Robert Picardo, reprising his role as the Doctor, and Michaela Dietz, who will be voicing a character named Margelle. No prizes for guessing the inspiration for that one. Also returning this season will be John Noble as the Diviner, Jimmy Simpson as Dreadnought, Jamila Jamil as Essentia, along with Jason Alexander as Dr. Noom, David Diggs as Commander Tysis, and Ronnie Cox as Admiral Jellicoe. In addition to the trailer, CBS Studios also released the key art for Prodigy's second season. Jody, are you looking forward to the imminent release of Star Trek Prodigy Season 2?
That might be an understatement. That trailer that they released, that 2 minutes, is so jam-packed.
Yeah.
With everything that interests me about Prodigy Season 2. I mean, it is exciting, and I can't wait. I cannot wait for Prodigy Season 2.
What are you, so of the things that we saw in the trailer, like what's getting you going? Is it, we are old school fans, neither of us are kids? Is it, you know, Janeway Chakotay stuff? Is it the Doctor? Is it the Prodigy kids? Like what?
Can I say yes? Yes to all of that?
What's vibing with you for Prodigy Season 2?
You know, I think what I liked about Prodigy in the first season was that there was just this wonderful balance of, here's some new Trek stories, here's new characters, new places, new ships, all the things we expect from a new Trek series, but also just this wonderful incorporation of nostalgia, maybe a little bit of fan service here and there, and dropping of some wonderful Easter eggs throughout, which animation allows them to do so wonderfully. But that 2 minute trailer has, I feel like they've stepped up the game when it comes to all of those things that made season one exciting. And I think, you know, adding things like, we're going to get the Voyager A and see that in action, you know, the whole original Prodigy crew's back together. All the kids are back. Gwyn, we see, is back in a pretty forceful capacity. Obviously, Janeway has kind of rallied up her crew there and going after Chakotay, who we get a brief look at, but he's definitely channeling a little bit of his Tom Hanks and Castaway vibe with the beard and, you know, being put through stuff. But I think it also, we saw a whale. We saw Rock Tuck with some new species, cute little thing. We saw Murph doing some sort of fun invisibility cloak thing on himself. There's a lot of fun new stuff ahead of us in this series. And as much as I was a little hesitant to know that all 20 episodes were dropping at once, I'm kind of excited about it now, having seen the trailer.
Yeah, I'm really excited about them dropping it all at once. So it's not a secret to anybody who listens to this show, who both knows, because occasionally I've said, you know, because I work for TrekCore and I do reviewing for some of the shows, I can get access to screeners to watch in advance the episodes, and that normally means that, like, when we get within like 2 or 3 weeks when like last trailers are coming out, I'll get very quiet about what, you know, I think about the show, because I don't want to give anything away if I've seen an episode. I was given the opportunity to get the screeners this time and I passed. I'm not interested. I really want to watch this all in one day on July 1st with everybody else. I am so stoked to do 20 episodes of Star Trek in one day on a Monday. I've taken the day off of work. And
I love it.
I'm going to spend...
You won't be alone.
Yeah. I'm going to spend all day binging Star Trek Prodigy and doing absolutely nothing else. I am really thrilled for this. And the trailer has got me hopping. I'm really enjoying the look at, like, we've only gotten a few glimpses of the Voyager A. We get a few more in this trailer, but it's just like real quick cuts. I've tried to avoid going and find the still images because I want to spend some time like looking at the ship, but I want to do that after I've seen it in an episode or the season, because like it deserves to be appreciated first and foremost in the show itself. I'm really pumped for like this sort of what sounds like this overarching story that is sort of time travel-y. I love time travel stuff. I think some of the like things they set up in season one around the different sort of timey-wiminess, a line that's used in the trailer of the first encounter, first contact with Solem and everything that happens afterwards, really interesting. So I'm really fascinated to see how that ultimately plays out. And, you know, it's like, there's this little stuff, right? There's Jay way in the tank top, you know.
Oh yes, right. Like,
like
it's just such great callbacks. Yes. And like, well, like you said, with the timey-wimey stuff, that's right up Voyager's alley. I mean, if Janeway wanted to avoid anything, it was the timey-wimey stuff. And of course, Voyager always got thrown into it. But it's fun that they're bringing that in as a part of that continued storyline. I even like that. I think there was a quick glimpse of a Borg transwarp conduit bit there. And I think that's just, you know, just wonderful how they're playing. Here's all the Voyager cards. Here they are. And let's incorporate them. And that's going to mean a lot to, you know, the Voyager and Janeway fans.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously one of the sort of underlying, you know, plots of Prodigy is Janeway's looking for Chakotay. Are you, where do you fall on the should Janeway and Chakotay get together spectrum?
I mean, that's really, yes, they should. That was like the biggest, I think, missed piece in Voyager was not giving some resolution to that tension that was between the two of them and allowing that. And I get it. Like, you can make a case for why and why not it didn't happen. But I do think that it's important that we see some resolution to that, because I think naturally that's where those two characters belong.
Well, I am super stoked for Prodigy season two. As I say, I've set up my July 1st. I think I said this when they announced the season was dropping and it was going to be all 20 episodes. Like, this is never going to be another opportunity to watch 20 episodes of new Star Trek all at the same time ever again. You know, like, I'm sure I did that. Like when the DVDs were coming out and there were sections of seasons that I'd probably never seen before of some shows, and this gave me a chance to do that. But like, no way was there a full 20 episodes I hadn't seen before, which means that this is probably the only time ever any of us are going to have the chance to watch 20 episodes of Star Trek in one sitting. And obviously we all want a season three of Star Trek Prodigy, so I would be thrilled to have the opportunity to do this again in the future. But, you know, it's happening now, and so I'm going to take advantage of it now and make the most of it. So that's what, so that's what I'm planning on doing.
That's brilliant. I love that. I'm right there with you.
Well, in live action Star Trek news, Star Trek Strange New Worlds season 3 wrapped filming a couple of weeks ago, with cast and crew bidding farewell to Toronto for 2024. Anson Mount took to Instagram to mark the end of the season and posted, quote, "Bono once said the world needs more Canada in it. Having worked here many years and having married an Albertan girl, I certainly agree. Thanks once again, Canada, for your tremendous hospitality. We'll see you again in the spring when Star Trek Strange New Worlds goes back into production for season 4. Mount's post also seemingly confirmed that Strange New Worlds season 4, which was formally greenlit several months ago, will be going back in front of the cameras in the spring of next year, hopefully returning the show to an annual schedule after last year's writers and actors strike significantly delayed the production of season 3. Jody, are you looking forward to Strange New Worlds season 3?
I am. I enjoy this cast. I enjoy the storylines. I like where they left us, you know, at the end of season 2. I'm thrilled that they were able to get back and get season three shot and wrapped up. I wish we could see it sooner rather than later, but I understand these things take time. Post-production, I understand. But yes, I think this is going to be a fun season for Strange New Worlds. We had some new characters. We have the Gorn issue to deal with. And yeah, I can't wait.
And another hard question. What was your favorite episode of season two?
Well, it had to be Subspace Rhapsody.
I guess not such a hard question.
It's not a hard question. I mean, they pulled it off. I in my former life, I was a musician. And I just really felt like, did I ever think we'd see that level of a musical episode in Trek? Absolutely not. And did they pull it off? Absolutely. And it's fun and it's done well. And, you know, I think any episode where it immediately ends and people are creating, you know, all the memes and the GIFs and all the stuff gets put out there, that means you did something right. And they really did. And I love that people continue to revisit that episode and that soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm excited for Strange New Worlds season three. It's a long wait. It's been a year since the season premiered, I think. It was right around now, a year ago, that season two kicked off. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a year, and it's almost certainly not going to air this year. I think they've said it's going to air next year, probably early next year. I think it'd be in the sort of like spring time slot that we had Discovery season five this year and Picard season three last year will be when Strange New Worlds season three will be up next year. But I think we've broken the back of the wait. You know, it's like filming's finished. A year has passed since season two premiered. I think we're probably looking at probably more than six, maybe seven, 8 months until the premiere. But that's a lot less than the year that is behind us. And my guess is San Diego Comic-Con, we might get our first look at season three of Strange New Worlds in the form of a teaser trailer. And so it's like now we're past the point where they won't say anything about season three to starting to get into them, you know, beginning to build hype for it and tease it. So like it gets easier from here on out. And yes. So I'm really excited about this, really excited about them heading back to Toronto in the spring to film season four. As I say, hopefully that gets them back on a annual schedule of season four coming in 2026 and then season five hopefully coming in 2027 and then hopefully season six in 2028. Yes. But yeah, it's nice that, you know, production cadence for Star Trek has sort of returned to normal again.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's going to be nice to find some consistency back in that schedule for, I'm sure, not just for the cast and crew, but also for us as fans.
Well, Star Trek The Next Generation and Star Trek Picard star Gates McFadden is getting back behind the podcast mic. After 25 episodes of her podcast, Investigates, which features one-on-one conversations between Gates and luminaries of the Star Trek franchise, Nacelle Studios, who produced the show, have announced that it will return for a third season. Joining Gates for this go-around of the podcast include Star Trek Discovery stars Sonequa Martin-Green and David Ojala, as well as Star Trek Picard co-stars Michelle Hurd and Todd Stashwick. The podcast is expected to return later this year. Jody, have you listened to any episodes of Investigates?
I have. I've listened to all of them. It's a fun podcast. And Gates McFadden is just, she's a great host. She asks pertinent questions. She goes beyond the Trek conversation. It's fun. There's laughter. And I think she has this relatability, right? She's a member of the Trek universe, the Trek family. So they have that commonality in that. I think bridges a quick gap with the guests that she has on. And yeah, I'm thrilled that they're going to be back for this next season.
Yeah, I really like this one. There are actually a decent number of what I think are like good actor, Star Trek actor on Star Trek actor interview shows. I'm a little less fond of the episode recap shows by Star Trek actors. Like I listen to all of the Delta Flyers doing Star Trek Voyager. Haven't had a chance to catch up with them doing Deep Space Nine yet, but I didn't love it in the way that, like, I've enjoyed Gates McFadden interviewing Star Trek actors, and also Dominic Keating and Connor Trinneer doing that too, first on Shuttlepod Show and now on their new Decon Chamber show that they just launched a couple of weeks ago. And I think one of the reasons I find this format and Gates is sort of like the best at it, I think, is they never really actually talk about Star Trek on the show. It's like the one thing they don't talk about. But that's, for me, okay, because, like, that's the bit I know, right? Like, I watched the episodes. I saw them on the show. I've been to conventions. I've heard the Star Trek stories. And so it's actually really interesting to sort of, like, set that aside and have the actor talk about, like, not Star Trek. You know, Gates is very good at asking them questions that isn't just, like, describe your life and your career outside of Star Trek, but, like, gets them to sort of open up about the way they sort of see themselves and what drives their personality and who they are as people and why they're that way, that I find really, really fascinating. And so that, yeah, I've listened to everyone too. They're great conversations. They're really engaging. And, you know, I'm pleased that she is expanding it out. And, you know, the other thing I find really fun and interesting about her, too, is, you know, she does the whole sort of production on it, right? So she preps mm-hmm. the show, records the show, and then edits the show as well. And as somebody who preps a show, records a show, and then edits the show himself, and Gates is even more of a fastidious editor than I am, and I think I'm a pretty fastidious editor, you know, it's no small amount of work. So, you know, it's fun that she has, like, taken this thing on and gotten really good at it and is really good at it, and we're going to get more of it.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more on that. And I think what the other piece of this that works so well is we learn a lot about Gates through each episode.
Yeah, right.
And so she finds a way to not only relate with her guests, but she, you know, is sharing how she relates to that. And I think that's fun, too, as, you know, as a fan of Gates, that you get to learn a little bit more about her in these conversations.
Yeah, like the fact that she owns a house in France, which I find right. fascinating. I mean, good for her. I'd also like to own a house in France.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and lastly this week, collectibles company FanHome have announced they're picking up the Star Trek Starships mantle where Eagle Moss and Master Replicas left off by producing new Star Trek Starships to add to your collections. The new collection, which will feature entirely new ships from recent Star Trek shows that haven't been made into models before, will debut with the USS Titan A from Star Trek Picard Season 3, the USS Stargazer from Star Trek Picard Season 2, and the USS Farragut from Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 1. Created in the same style and size as the Eagle Moss starships from the mid-sized Star Trek Universe collection, the line is again being overseen by Ben Robinson, who shepherded the Eagle Moss line of models from its inception. So, from the way it's been presented, you buy these ships, you have the old Star Trek Universe collection, take them out of the box, you stick them next to each other, they're going to fit the same, the bases will be the same, it should look like it's one collection rather than being two separate collections from two separate companies. Offered as both subscription and for purchase a la carte through the FanHome web store, the models are expected to cost approximately $55 if purchased through the subscription and $65 if purchased through the web store. Subscribers will also have access to exclusive models not available in the web store. Subscriptions are expected to launch later this year. You can head over to FanHome.com to sign up to be notified when the subscription and the web shop go live. Jody, do you own any of the Star Trek Starship models from Eagle Moss? And are there any ships you'd particularly like to have in your collection or see made in the new line?
I do own several ships from the Eagle Moss collection.
Which ones?
I've got quite a Voyager collection. Uh-huh. I've got the Deep Space Nine. I've got La Serena from Picard. What else do I have? I got my Discoveries and, you know, original Enterprise, Strange New Worlds. Of course, the Enterprise D. I'm going to need another room is really what it boils down to.
All right, then. So with that in mind, what are you hoping they make next for you to fill this room with?
Well, I'm very excited about the Titan, the Picard Titan that's coming out. And I'll be honest, I'll get the Titan, and if they make the exact same ship and brand it the Enterprise G, I'll get that too.
Yep, sure.
I'm just, you know, not afraid of that. But I'm very excited at the idea of some of the ships coming from Prodigy.
Yes.
So if there's going to be a Voyager A, yeah, I'll be first in line for that.
Yeah, there are two ships at the top of my really, really, really want list. The first is the USS Dauntless from Star Trek Prodigy Season 1.
Nice.
I love that ship design, mm-hmm. which is sort of a modification of the design from the Season 4 finale, Hope and Fear in Star Trek Voyager. It's the same saucer shape, but with more of a Starfleet-y color scheme to it, and then a new Star Drive section, which looks more like traditional Starfleet ships. I love the ship design. I have a little 3D printed model of it, which I keep next to me because I don't know why I just love this ship design so much, but I really do. So I really hope that makes it into the fan home line. And then the Voyager A, obviously, just from what we've already seen of that ship, it looks pretty great. And so, yeah, Dauntless, Voyager A, Protostar, those three are very high on my list of models that I would like to see. I think more than I want to see Picard ships or Strange New World ships, those are the three that I'm most interested in.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun to see those Prodigy kind of highlighted ships brought to life. That I think will get people's attention.
Yeah.
And I love that Ben Robinson's involved.
Can't keep him away.
Can't at all. And I'm here for it. I'm here for every moment of it. So it's exciting. And I think it's great that, you know, that's become such a big tradition in the Star Trek universe for, you know, these models and, you know, the ships. I look at them as characters, right? They're just an integral part of the stories that are being told. And so it's just fun to have those around and view them as a part of that story.
Yeah. And I think huge kudos to Ben, obviously. I mean, you know, Eagle Moss goes bankrupt and there's every reason to expect at that point that that's it, right? Like, they had made so many that, you know, the idea that another company would come to this and would say, oh, yeah, we think there's something here for us to pick up and continue. I can't imagine that, you know, like, obviously they'd made a ton, which meant that, like, there was a lot of interest in that, in the line, and people were buying them. But I can't imagine it, you know, I think it was no small amount of work to make this happen.
Oh yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's great that it is happening.
It really is. And I just, you know, the initial lineup that they've, you know, announced, I think has got people talking and people are excited about it. And I just think it's going to be great for them and for us as fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me my Dauntless, Ben. That's what I want.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure, right? None at all. All right. Well, we've talked about the facts, and now let's offer our opinions on the Star Trek franchise.
Your opinion has been noted. Anything further?
So as we transition from the news section to the opinion section each week, my guest and I will each give you a Star Trek opinion, wish, or theory that we're nurturing that week about any aspect of the Star Trek franchise that we want to opine on. So Jody, let's hear it. What's your big Star Trek opinion for this week?
You know, I have a lot, but I think for me, I honestly feel it's a really good time to be a fan of Trek. And
yeah.
And I know that that can be a controversial topic on a good day, but
sure.
Right. But I think, you know, obviously we know Discovery has, you know, the sun has set on Discovery, and that was done very well, you know, with that kind of season 5 was great. They readdressed it and so well. We know that Lower Decks is coming to an end, which I, you know, that hurts too, but at least we know that that's happening and can be aware of that. But at the same time, there's so much to be excited about. There's the great announcements around Academy, you know, with this new star, you know, Holly Hunter and Paul Giamatti. And I think, you know, this trailer for Prodigy has really kind of reignited some excitement there. And like we just talked about with the fan home models, there's new Trek ships coming out. I mean, there's just the whole of Trek is still thriving. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that a bit as we kind of dive in and get to the details of the fandom. But I keep going back to, there was a quote that Nana Visitor is credited with saying, and I think it was from the Star Trek cruise a couple years ago, but she said, it might not be your Trek, but it's someone's Trek.
Right.
And I love that quote because I think it's just a reminder that there was a time where TNG wasn't looked at very highly. And there was a time when DS9 wasn't looked at very kindly because they were new and they were different. And they kind of challenged the foundation of what we knew as Star Trek. And now they are just as important structure to what we're building on now. And I think it's important that we lean into that rich history, but embrace the growth and expansion of the franchise.
Yeah, Jody, I love that. One of the things I was thinking about as you were talking is, you know, we're now, and I just was a guest on an episode of Trek Ranks earlier, so I got the latest stat, 913 episodes of Star Trek deep. And I think we don't necessarily appreciate, one, like, how much Star Trek there is, right? Like, we're closing in on 1,000 episodes. Right. On July 1st, we're going to go from 913 to 933. By the end of next year, we'll be at probably 960-something, because we've got 30 episodes, 10 Lower Decks, 10 Strange New Worlds, 10 more Strange New Worlds on the way, you know, filming in a year, and 10 episodes of Starfleet Academy spinning up. So that's 40. So we're knocking on the door of 1,000.
Right.
Which is an astronomically colossal feat. And right. I think it's like one of the things that we sort of lose sight of is like how hard that must be, right? Like how hard it must be to be at 900 episodes and still work really hard to tell interesting stories, find new directions to take the franchise, new story beats, new characters, new ideas, while also honoring and respecting everything that's come before, and, you know, sort of like giving the longtime fans what they want while also trying to create space for new fans. The thing that's got me thinking about this week is it's been really interesting to be an outsider looking into the Star Wars fandom as they eat themselves alive over this week's episode of The Acolyte, right? Like,
yes.
And the age of Ki-Adi Mundi, a, you know, two-line character from The Phantom Menace Jedi Master, who has a, spoiler alert, bit part cameo in the fourth episode of The Acolyte, when some CD-ROM released connected to The Phantom Menace, The Acolyte's 100 years before The Phantom Menace, put the character's age at only 70-something, because I think the actor was 70-something. And like, the way that the fandom has been absolutely chewing itself up over, oh, this breaks canon, you know, like, which of course is all nonsense in my opinion, has been really fascinating to see it from the outside, because we are no strangers to that in the Star Trek franchise, right? Like, Romulans not having any cyberneticists was one that like sticks in my mind as being a throwaway line from an episode of Picard, that like there's a line from The Defector that, you know, indicates that Romulans have cyberneticists, right? Like things that do not possibly matter at all. But like that Star Wars, and Star Wars, there is so much less Star Wars than there is Star Trek. So much less.
So,
you know,
much less.
It's actually like if you add together all of the hours of Star Wars stuff, even with 7 seasons of the Clone Wars that did like 25 episodes a season, but they're only 30 minutes long, so that's still only, you know, and I can't remember exactly how many episodes it is, but let's just say it's the same number of episodes as Star Trek The Next Generation at 170. I don't think that's right, but I think that's probably too many. But like, let's just say that it is, well, at half of that, that still makes it a half of The Next Generation. Because in terms of the amount of screen time, that still nets you half of the screen time of TNG. Then, you know, there have been 3 seasons of The Mandalorian, 1 Book of Boba Fett, 1 Ahsoka. There have been more animated shows, you know, that have done like 3 or 4 seasons apiece. So like maybe they're up to a TNG and a half. Maybe they're up to a TNG and a DS9. But I think that's probably pretty generous counting. And, you know, and that means there's not a Voyager or an Enterprise or a TOS or a Discovery or a Picard or a Strange New Worlds or a Lower Decks or a Prodigy or an animated series. Did I forget Picard?
Right.
Like, there is so much Star Trek. So much of it. And, like, it would be easy for them to say, you know what? There is enough Star Trek now. And it's time for us to move on to something else. But they haven't. And we're blessed for it. And we're blessed to be in this time. And for their, you know, even though, yes, as you say, right, there's been a bit of a contraction and a bit of a reset, there's still lots of exciting things happening and lots of reasons for us to feel good as Star Trek fans as we inch ever closer to 1,000 episodes of Star Trek.
It really is. It's amazing to me. And I, like I said, it's a fandom. We ebb and flow. We roller coaster a bit at times. But the fact that, like you said, as we get to that 1,000 episode mark, we still have a thriving community of, it's inspiring fan art and stories and podcasts and conversation. And I think that that says a lot. And even if the, you know, there's some discourse of, you know, differing opinions or what's new, what's not new, I don't know. But it that's all a part of the community, of the universe that has been built around the franchise. And I just think it's important that we, you know, kind of sometimes step back and just say, it's good right now. It's we're in a great place because we're still growing, we're still thriving, and we should embrace that more as a community. The conventions are still bringing people in. I just, you know, the celebrities that, you know, take the time to engage at conventions on social media. I just think it's a special fandom that we have here, and we should acknowledge it more often.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love that. I love that very much. Okay, let me give you my opinion, which you were eminently positive, and I'm going to be a sniping little gutter snipe. So, mine is where are the soundtracks for the most recent seasons of Star Trek? So, I'm a huge soundtrack yes. guy. When I work, and I'm not on a call, I will have TV or film music playing in my ears. My Star Trek playlist is the longest playlist that I have on my iTunes, because yes, I'm 1,000 years old. It's currently 3,366 separate tracks, and if you started them and didn't stop until the last track played, it would take 5.7 days for you to listen to them all. This is yes. all of the like officially released Star Trek music, movies, from TV shows, the big collections that La La Land Records did for the different shows, all of the music from TOS that they did in this huge box set. And we were doing pretty well there. Lakeshore Records, who seem to be putting out all of the season's soundtracks for the latest Star Trek, they started off pretty well. Discovery Season 1, Discovery Season 2, Discovery Season 3, Picard Season 1, Picard Season 2. Picard Season 3 soundtrack came out very shortly after the season. But Strange New Worlds Season 1 was delayed a year. Strange New Worlds Season 2, we got a Subspace Rhapsody soundtrack. Right. It was released the day after the episode came out, but we don't have the score soundtrack from season 2 now, a year since the season premiered. Star Trek Discovery season 5 is retreating into the rearview mirror, and we don't mm-hmm. have an announcement of a soundtrack for that yet. And Lower Decks, there was a soundtrack for season 1 and 2. Season 4 ended 8-9 months ago. No announcement of a season 3-4 soundtrack for that yet. Maybe it's sales related, maybe the problem's not them, maybe the problem is us and we're not buying enough of these soundtracks to make it worth their while to put them out. But it sucks because I like it. I like having the music from the series. There's lots of great music. I think Nami Melamad's music for Star Trek Strange New Worlds is really terrific. The season 1 soundtrack for Star Trek Strange New Worlds is excellent. I am really wanting that season 2 soundtrack. She put out a ton of music for Star Trek Prodigy, which she published herself. That's the only one that didn't come through Lakeshore Records. I'm really hoping she's going to do that again for season 2 of Star Trek Prodigy when it drops and we get a bunch of music for Prodigy as well. Like, I like Star Trek music and I want it all, and I'm kind of frustrated that we were in a pretty good cadence and now we sort of have fallen out of it, and I want to get back on it.
Yeah,
So that's what I want.
I'm right there with you. I am that same person. I love the soundtracks. They are a big part of my listening at all times, and I agree. Like, there's just been some phenomenal stuff done in these recent series, And I miss it. I wanna relive Star Trek Lower Decks season 4 music. I want to, yeah, what Naomi has done with Strange New Worlds and Prodigy is mind blowing to me as a musician. She is just doing some amazing things, and I miss it too. I don't think we're alone. I think there is a large part of the community that are fans of these soundtracks and enjoy them and want them as a part of their collections too. And we need to find somebody to talk to about this and get this fixed.
Yeah, right.
I don't know who that person is, but we should find them.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion, theory, or wish about Star Trek that you'd like to share? Tweet them to me at Weekly Trek or email them to me at weeklytrek@trekcore.com, and I might feature your theory in a future episode. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Weekly Trek. Thank you so much to my guest, Jodie Pickens, for joining me today. Jodie, how can people contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
I'm on all of the socials. You can find me at Jodie Pickens on Twitter, X, whatever we call it, and at jpickens01 on Instagram and Threads. So I'm out there. Find me. And you can always, find the Clone Star podcast out there too, and find me that way also.
And you can find this show on Twitter at Weekly Trek and me at Alexander T. Perry on Twitter and at Alex T. Perry everywhere else. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And for all your Star Trek news needs, in addition to our extensive media archives of all things Star Trek, I hope you will keep your senses locked to TrekCore.com. Well, thank you, Jodie. Thank you to all of my listeners. And until next week, live long and prosper. Weekly Trek is a production of TrekCore.com and owned by Trapezoid Media, LLC.